Roland's Afterlife. A dark grey comedy by Frederick Radnor. With Derek Foles as Roland, Melinda Walker as Lorraine, Sheila Hancock as Heidi, Richard Vernon as Guy, David March as Leonowski, and Robert Edison as Nerdier. Roland's Afterlife.
Ever so, sir, she said. I know you won't say a word, but I have to chat away after making love roly-poly peel. Can't help it. All sorts of things flow out. It's really thinking aloud. Now, for instance, do you think Heidi and Guy still make love? Do you think they ever did? Can you imagine her? My mind boggles. Guy is a bit of an old dog, I'm told. Likes patting bots. And has a funny way of looking straight at your tits. Roland? You're sound asleep, are you, Roland? You all right, Roland? Your head is all loose. Why? You're not all right, are you? Don't you hear me? Let me listen to your heart. You haven't got one, as they say, or it's having a rest. Stopped dead. Stopped dead. Roland, you died. You're not alive. Don't panic, Lorraine. Oh, why not? Hell, come on, get dressed, silly cow. Trousers, blouse, bra, handbag. Where's my what's-its? Never mind. Blasted buttons. What's my hair like? Oh, come on, do. Have to. Better phone. Give no name. Beat it. Phone the farm's dog. Yes. And ensure, tough old bird. Where's the hell's my other shoe? Oh, how did it get there? A phone book of internal numbers downstairs. Better find my panties. Can't leave evidence. Are they in the bed? Sorry, Roland. Sorry, roly-poly. What a way to go. Oh, there they are. Bye, Roland. Bye. Oh, I hate these winding stairs. I shan't ever go up them again, though. I always thought we'd break our necks. Funny thing to say now. And I'm still talking out loud to myself. Where's the internal phone book? All right. Oh, doctor, doctor. Here we are. Sure. 3197. Keep your nerve, Lorraine. Oh, courage, Lorraine. Oh, ringing. Oh, hope she's there.
Dr. Shaw here. Who are you? Are you a breather? If you are, you'd better not try it on me.
Oh, please come to Mr. Roland Peel's penthouse suite. I think he's died. He's dead. Now, rush away. Find the back stairs. Oh, Lord, I mustn't cry.
Come along, Truscott. Must you mince like that?
What do you mean, Dr. Shaw? I'm walking quite normally.
You're supposed to be security, but you walk like a constipated duck.
You didn't ask me to walk up and down when I got the job.
Pity. Got the keys?
In my hot hand. Shall I ring the doorbell first?
If it wakes the dead, yes.
There are things that do go on. I'll be as quiet as a mouse. Mr. Peel isn't here, is he? Mr. Peel? Can you hear me?
Mr. Peel!
That would wake anyone except the dead.
Bedroom.
What?
Where is it?
Oh, up the circular stairs, Doctor.
Oh, you better come up with me. I need a witness. On you go.
It's a wonder no one's ever broken their necks on these stairs. the things that I say.
It may not be a pretty sight. She may have used a heavy instrument. Oh. She was breathing hard when she phoned.
You go first.
Oh. Open your eyes, Truscott. He's not been touched.
Well, I never. She might have pulled the bedclothes over him.
He was getting fat.
He looks so calm, peaceful, happy.
Poor Mr. Peel.
Dead, Mr. Peel, I'm afraid. Died contented by the look of things, however.
Yes, he did, didn't he? Shall I phone the undertaker?
Undertaker? Fathead? Go downstairs and phone the ambulance. I'd better get him into hospital to make sure. Go on, Truscott, ambulance. Phone, quick.
Quick.
When the devil is this ambulance coming, Truscott?
Well, they said at once, but as it's the firm's ambulance, the crew could be doing something else, like driving the directors about. They could be drunk.
Nonsense. We've waited 10 minutes.
Poor Mr. Peel won't mind, will he?
I mind. It'll be easier to get down the stairs before rigor mortis sets in.
Oh, of course. Why didn't I think of that?
What was that?
I thought I heard it. Oh, look. It's Mr. Peel.
What?
It's Mr. Peel walking down the stairs. It's just like that film, The Night of the Living Dead.
Good grief, Mr. Peel.
Dr. Shaw. You're here. I feel rather peculiar.
You're not the only one.
Truscott. Security.
We had to get in. You were...
Dead as a doornail.
In a deep coma.
Oh, no, you said that...
You should sit down, Mr. Peel.
Yes, I've been away. It was odd. How did you know?
A lady phoned me. She left no name.
Oh, yes, I remember. I must have given her a nasty shock.
You said you'd been away.
It's as if I was in another world. I'm still not quite back yet.
Can I get you a drink?
Yes, there's some brandy over there. Have one yourself.
Oh, I did have a nasty shock.
Yes, you can have a small one, Truscott. How did it happen?
I was awake one moment. Very relaxed, you understand.
Post-coitus languor.
Quite. Then I found myself... Suddenly...
Brandy, Mr. Peel.
Oh, thanks. Suddenly floating. No, I can't explain it now. It's too vivid a jumble. It's too weird. And so totally unexpected. I hardly believe I'm here. I'm the same man. If I am.
Sounds interesting. When the ambulance eventually comes, I'll get you to hospital. Let them check you over. You seem all right to me. Physically, that is.
You'll have to report this, I imagine.
I must. I'd a head strife and had my testimonials if I didn't.
And I must tell the woman who phoned you that I'm back. Alive.
I just ran away and left you, Roland. I couldn't face it. Then I heard you were alive and well. I thought I'd gone mad. I thought I'd imagined you were dead. Thought you'd never want to see me again. What did happen, Rowley? Were you dead?
I don't know.
You looked dead.
I'll tell you what happened, Lorraine. Then you tell me if I'm telling the truth.
I don't understand, but go on.
I suddenly saw myself in the bed and you beside me. I could see your lips moving, but not hear you.
That was a blessing. Where were you?
I was looking down from ceiling height. You looked at me, surprised, lifted my head up, let it fall, listened to my heart, head on my chest. Then suddenly you jumped out of bed and started to dress. You had trouble with your blouse buttons.
I panicked, darling. It was awful.
Yes, I could see that. You had to search for a shoe which was in a corner. You combed your hair and your lips went on moving.
Yes, I went on talking out loud.
You'd put your bra in your handbag and you found your knickers in the bed. You put them in your handbag, too. You uncovered me and left me uncovered.
Sorry.
It didn't matter. I followed you downstairs. I had the ability to go through things. Walls, floors. You looked up a number, phoned, spoke briefly, then rushed out into the corridor until you got to the fire exit door, which you went through. I floated out into the car park, expecting you. I was quite high up. 20 feet or so. You came dashing out, finding your keys as you ran, got into your car, and drove off. Have I got it right?
Yes, exactly. I remember each move I made, and always shall.
I was dead on my bed. What was it floating about?
Your spirit, Roland, your soul.
But do we have such a thing?
What else was it?
I don't know. All I do know is this isn't the sort of thing which should happen to a chap like me.
Oh. Why not?
Because I'm entirely of the material world. I live for the moment, for money and power. And I've never had a spiritual thought in my head for as long as I can remember.
All the more that it should happen to you, perhaps.
Yes. You could be right. It happened on purpose, do you think?
On purpose is too crude a way of putting it.
I don't know how else... But it's shaken me to my very foundations. The bombshell which changes all things.
Yes. I see that. And a lot of people will get a shock also. Not the least Heidi when she hears.
Indeed. But it won't change her. Will it?
Guy, breakfast is on the table.
Cover it, Heidi. I think just crossing the old fan.
Recording.
Oh.
Recording. It's June memo to Denby. Let me see the final figures. Memo H. Hill, what is this about rubber balls? What do we want with them? I do not understand these rubber balls.
Large ones or small ones? Sorry,
I'll just say this. No, tell James Denby we are not selling, not at his price.
I said something rather rude about Sir James the other day when you had the machine on. You still have.
No, it is off. And my secretaries are used to your ejaculations.
I hope not. Interjections, I think.
And ignore them. Coffee.
Thanks. Good show. Oh, Kipper's lovely.
My God.
God, I think.
What nonsense is this?
No, what's this nonsense?
You listen, here. Roland was found presumed dead in his bed at 6:32 in the evening the day before yesterday.
What? I swear I spoke to him last night.
And then he came to life again.
Thank God. I did wonder.
He was without a heartbeat. There was nothing.
Well, what do you expect of the chap? Never had one, did he?
Never had one what?
A heart. You said it, Heidi, and in a tone as near to respect as I ever heard from you.
True. He was presumed dead for 35 minutes.
He always was a clever blighter. Could fool a nun into thinking he was an angel. Who found him?
Dr. Shaw. A woman phoned her without a name.
Ah. Did Dr. Shaw revive him? Shout at him, perhaps?
No. He revived himself and came down the stairs while they were waiting for an ambulance. They took Roland to hospital, but there was nothing wrong with him, they say.
I wonder why he was in bed at 6 in the evening.
But I don't like it, Guy. It's not a thing I like my directors to do.
You mean being in bed at 6 in the evening?
No. If they are tired, let them.
No. Yes, of course.
I mean this being thought dead, this coming round. It is foolish, a waste of time. And if it gets out, we will become a laughing term.
Stock. Laughing stock, I think.
Laughing stock? That is not possible. Never mind. I shall keep my eyes on him for the next weeks.
Poor blighter. I wish he hadn't come round.
Hello, Heidi. You wanted a word.
Come and sit down with me, Roland.
Thanks. I'll sit here.
You are feeling very well, yes?
Yes, I am. Thanks.
It's 3 weeks since you were thought to be dead, yes?
As a doornail, yes, it must be.
A doornail is very dead. But you were only pretending so.
Pretending? Not that I know of, Heidi. It was a serious matter.
Dead is serious, yes. Let us leave that. I see your companies are doing well.
Yes, they roll along nicely, thanks.
But you yourself are not yourself, I'm told.
Not myself. How come?
You are not a ball of furious energy. You do not drive people. You are more laid down, they say.
Laid back, yes, that's true. You see, Heidi, things seem to go just as well without my jumping up and down.
For now.
Yes, but will they always?
I've no idea. Has anyone? It's all a question of luck, you know.
That makes me worried, Roland, to say it is luck.
Of course, you must know how to play the luck.
This is all an abyss for business, Roland. You are changed.
Yes, and for the better, Heidi.
You will see a neurologist, a famous one, Sir Fingal Cameron. He will examine your brain.
Sir Fingal Cameron, a small man, isn't he? Lots of red hair and a loud voice.
That is so. He does boom, but he is an expert with the brain and with the nerves. So you will see him for my sake, Roland. You will do this for me, yes?
Yes, Heidi. For you.
Your reactions are excellent, lady. Nothing wrong with your eye movements. Your nervous system is sound, brain scan normal, no alien matter around, such as a tumor. You have no nodes in your noddle.
Nice to know.
You're a puzzle, Peel. You can get up now.
I know.
Huh?
Oh, nothing.
As I see it, when you stopped breathing the other week, you went into a state known to us quacks as tonic immobility, a death feigning. You follow?
Tonic immobility? Death feigning? Why?
Creatures do it when they're about to be eaten by a larger creature. Freezing, when in danger, is the human way, usually.
Was I in danger?
Were you? This lady you were in bed with, was she about to eat you?
She'd done her best. I felt no fear.
Aye, but consider how the female of the species is often the predator in the animal kingdom.
Like Heidi in the human kingdom, Sir Fingal.
A Medusa, turning man to stone. But you weren't in bed with Heidi, were you?
No. And I can't imagine that predicament occurring.
Oh, can you not? But the lady you were with, was she perhaps a substitute? Like one of those rubber models that you pump up?
For God's sake, Sir Fingal, you turn my blood cold. Heidi is a mixture of Adolf Hitler and Henry Ford the First. Sex doesn't come into it.
Aye. So, were you in danger from the city, from your own kind?
Not more than usual. I thrived on that danger.
So I have been told.
My antagonists would feign death, you might say, when I arrived at the party. Cash for corpses, Sir Fingal.
So we can discount the business side of things. You've never held a secret desire to become a Tibetan monk, have you?
Oh. No, I don't think so. No, not even in my misspent youth. Why?
They find rocks to sit on. Or did. I believe the Chinese have stopped the sport. And took their pulses down. And their breathing, of course. Although they were, to all intents and purposes, lifeless. They'd stay like it for days, weeks.
Does anyone know why they did it?
It's the mysterious East syndrome to me. But they have a book all about it, I believe. The Book of the Dead.
Well, I haven't read a real book since I was 20.
Well, find something lighter than the Book of the Dead to start with, I suggest. Perhaps you should see my old friend, Leonoski.
Well, he doesn't sound Tibetan.
God knows what he is, perhaps. He's a shrink. Your corporation's shrink, in fact. Never had a failure, they say, but once.
Once? Who?
Guy Headstrife, of course.
Of course. Should I see Leonoski?
It will do no harm. It might do some good.
So, Mr. Peel, you floated like a bird beneath the ceiling?
Birds don't float, do they?
All right. You floated like a dirigible and watched your lover escape from the unfortunate situation you had put her in.
You don't seem surprised, Dr. Leonoski.
Your case is not unique. There have been others.
Well, I'd no idea. But then I've no idea of the world beyond city limits. And as for the other world.
Which may or may not exist, for we have no first-hand evidence.
Well, that's rather my own belief. Or was. Shall I go on?
I will go on for you, if you like.
Oh. It'll save me the trouble.
After you floated about like a balloon.
Dirigible is better. Balloons drift. I sort of steered.
Did you? And so, you steered into a great, brilliant light.
Oh, no, no. I wish I had, but no.
I shall try again. You found yourself surrounded by your loved ones, those dead.
I don't think I have any dead loved ones.
Perhaps not loved ones, but relatives, family who are dead.
That would have been bad enough, but no again.
Then where did you find yourself? In heaven with angels?
No. I suppose you realize I had no sense of time. That 35 minutes was timeless.
Yes, 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 a timeless world. What was it like?
It was like hell.
Hell? Here is hell, there is hell. Hell is a morbid hermeneutic imagining.
Is it? Oh, this wasn't morbid, it was plain terrible. I'll do my best with words, but it needs a painter or a film.
But we only have words, Mr. Peel.
Yes. At first, I was in a dark box. Then I knew I was in a lift, and I couldn't see anything, like being blindfolded. And cobwebs, or hands like cobwebs, touching my face. The lift was moving, spinning round, then stopped, and I was spewed out into an enormous corridor. Now I could see, and the light was red, and the corridor had sides that wobbled like jelly to the touch, and cold as ice. Coming and going were grotesque shapes, obscene forms of things, some tiny, some huge. I struggled along this corridor as if against a wind, which there wasn't, and found myself in a white room. A vast white room, dead white, not a shadow. White tables, chairs, counters, and dead white men and women of all ages, naked. They were sitting there eating money, coins and notes, eating ravenously and crying. I recognized a man I knew who'd died a couple of years ago. I went through this room, which was endless, and came to a street, a run-down street, which stank of decaying garbage, and the walls were covered in graffiti, in a language I didn't know. There were figures, standing rigid, as if stuck against walls. Some I recognized from photos or films. Some were smiling, some as if shouting, or perhaps singing, in action, but fixed. At this point, I felt a sharp pain go through me, and a feeling of falling, down and down. Until I woke up in my bed.
Well, well, that is some story.
Made up, you mean?
No, 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 no. Look how it has affected you. It was a very vivid dream, and vivid dreams are remembered clearly.
Well, if I do dream, I don't remember them.
Dreams fade 1 hour, 1 day, sometimes a week.
But this was 4 weeks ago, and I can still see everything horribly clearly. It wasn't a dream. It was real.
But why did it happen?
It was a warning.
A warning, perhaps not to make love in the early evening.
I think it was a warning against the life I've led for years.
You have things on your conscience. We all have.
It was said that my conscience was removed with my tonsils when I was 7.
Oh, no. Your conscience was only sleeping.
All right. But it's wide awake now. I must change things.
We shall consider that another time. Were you feeling physically well before that evening?
Well, well enough. I had a flu-like cold a week before.
Oh, that was it, my dear chap. It was a virus, a nasty little parasite, which left you feeling depressed and morbid.
Well, I didn't feel either thing.
Not consciously, but the unconscious goes its own way.
My unconscious has always gone along with my consciousness.
No man is the ringmaster of his unconscious. I quote Jung.
Jung? Well, tell Herr Jung I had no inner life. Tell him when you're controlled by the horses of avarice and power, you have to be the ringmaster all the time. No inner life for my kind, tell him.
He is dead, but he would have found you a fascinating subject.
And I him, by the sound of things. Did he know about hell?
Only here on Earth. I will give you some tablets which will help bring you back to normality. When you next see me in 2 weeks, you will be your old avaricious self.
Where do I begin, Lorraine? What do? I feel lost.
Oh, that's unlike you, Roland. Have you taken Leonowski's pills?
I put them down the loo. Leonowski's barking mad.
What was his diagnosis?
That I was morbid and depressed, but didn't know it. And he didn't believe I went to hell.
That isn't surprising, my sweet.
Don't you believe I went there?
I like the idea of that miser Henry Allblatt eating money and crying. I don't know what to make of the rest. All I know is you're a changed man.
All I know is I don't want to join Allblatt in that terrible white room.
You really do mean you want to give all this up?
I'm being forced to, don't you see?
I think so.
I can't go on as I have gone on. I must have a spiritual rebirth.
A spiritual rebirth? Yes. What do you intend to do?
I must find some useful work in society.
Useful work in society? Yes. Such as?
I don't know. But thinking aloud, what about work with the down and outs?
They'd eat you alive, and they stink. And you need lots of training before you're allowed near them. And you're too old.
Oh. Charities. What exactly do Oxfam do?
Not relieve famine in Oxford. And they'd rather have your money than you.
Well, war on want. Save the children.
Ditto, ditto.
Well, my mother used to do something called Meals on Wheels.
Lunches for lorry drivers, very part-time.
But what about the church?
What about it?
Do they want priests of my age?
Are you a Catholic?
Well, I think I'm C of E.
If you are going to try, you better be sure first what you are. And what about God?
God? In what way?
Do you believe in God?
No. Or rather, perhaps yes. God in his heaven. I've seen the other place, so perhaps there is a God.
You've two divorces behind you, so the church is out anyway.
No, they don't like divorced chaps.
No, they don't. What else attracts you?
Well, as a boy, I always wanted to be a fireman, you know, wear a brass helmet.
Oh, honestly, Rowley, this is one of life's great potty conversations.
I know. But it's hard, I'm discovering, to know who or what is absolutely useful in society.
Perhaps you should give up the idea of doing anything useful and seek your own salvation.
How do I do that?
Loincloth, ashes, begging bowl.
Oh, a sort of holy tramp with a bundle of old newspapers and layer upon layer of garments.
And you could carry a banner saying, "Repent ye sinners."
And if Heidi saw me, she'd say, "Another work-shy beggar," and get her chauffeur to run me down. I must admit that for once I just feel at a loss.
Of course you do. Because the truth is you don't know anything about real life. All you know about is the artificial world of finance. You're like a man who lives in a tunnel. Dealing in billions of pounds sterling is all you know about.
Well, probably I was only meant to make money and pay for it by going to hell.
Poor Rowley. What a fate.
Perhaps I should get to know a bit about life outside the world I know.
You could start by walking the streets.
What?
Let me rephrase that. Just walking about, seeing things and going on buses or suffering on the underground. That's a sort of hell. And perhaps doing some shopping.
Well, I go to a shop in German Street for shirts and things.
Oh, you'll never fit into ordinary life, Rowley. Not now. It's too late. So if you change things, it'll have to be changed to something equally unusual, won't it?
Oh, yes, you're probably right. To begin with, though, I'll try walking about a bit. Seeing things. What about around Lourdes, St. John's Wood? Would that do?
Yes, as a start. You can visit the lower depths later.
Don't say that.
Sorry. Didn't think.
Shall we try going to bed?
Yes. Why not?
It can't happen twice, can it?
Oh, of course not. You go up first, though. Rowley, did you worry? You didn't seem to.
I concentrated on the job at hand. We're here. I'm alive.
It did give a certain piquancy to the occasion.
I don't find St. John's Wood exactly piquant, do you?
Can you see yourself as a useful member of society here?
Hardly. What would I be being useful at?
Oh, look. What about that place across the road?
Oh, yes. Let's have a look.
Mind the traffic.
Mind where you're going.
Hey, that was a narrow squeak. What's this place, then? The Tabernacle of the Righteous People. Well, I never.
Nor I.
The end cometh. Sinners repent or eternal hell awaits. What do you make of that?
Fate? Coincidence? It seems open. Shall we enter the tabernacle?
Yes. All right. Hey. It's dark.
Very dark. Lights are ahead. And a person.
Stay! Are you of the righteous?
It's that bloody lady on the bike.
How do you do? We met on the road just now.
It's a wonder I didn't run you down. Are you a sinner?
I'm afraid so.
Same here.
If you've come here to take the mickey, you can clear off.
No, not at all. You see, I'm here because I went to hell recently.
It's an old joke, your hell.
No, it wasn't any sort of a joke, I can assure you, madam.
It's a town in Madagascar. Is your hell full name Hellville?
I've heard of it, but he hasn't been there, honestly. You see, recently he died for about half an hour, and he went to hell, but got back.
Oh, I understand. And you're taking him for a walk?
Yes, in the manner of speaking, I am.
Then may I ask you to take him back to the bin? I'm busy.
No, I'm not a loony. I really did go to hell.
He really did.
Then keep it to yourselves. We want our sinners to believe in eternal hell, not half an hour of it and then whoopee.
Come on, Roland, let's go.
Take him away. And if you've got any cash, put some in the box and we'll pray for him.
Oh, I've only got 50s. Have a couple.
100 quid? Oh, Lord. We have been blessed by one who is both rich and mad and thinks he's been to hell.
Come in, Roland. The boss isn't here yet. Like a gargle?
Oh, thanks. Scotch and water wouldn't come amiss.
Yeah, but eases the pain.
Oh, do you find life painful, Guy?
Painful? Not more than usual.
Do you know St. John's Wood, Guy?
Not personally. North of Regent's Park, isn't it?
The Lord's is there, where they play cricket.
Victorian chaps like me built country cottages there for their mistresses, lucky blighters. Why do you ask?
Well, I walked round some of it the other evening.
Did you? For exercise?
And my girlfriend said I should see life.
Did she? Did you?
We came across a tabernacle.
A tabernacle? Didn't the Medes and Persians have them?
I don't know. This, though, was the tabernacle of a sect called the Righteous People.
Who are they when they're at hell?
For they claim that if you don't belong, you'll go to eternal hell.
That's a bit hard on the rest of us, isn't it? This is an odd conversation, you know, Roland.
Yes, I'm having lots of them these days. I told a woman in the tabernacle that I'd known hell for about half an hour.
Probably very dull, hell. It was as dull as hell when we stayed with Sheikh Ali Baba last year. They couldn't get a drink, not for 3 ghastly days. And the coffee. That was hell, all right.
But it wasn't for eternity, Guy.
Seemed like it.
Oh, never mind. I'll try it out on Leonoski.
Ah, so you're seeing that jolly Jungian, are you?
Well, I saw Sir Fingal. He sent me to Leonoski.
One thing, Roland, never, but never take any sort of pill Leonoski gives you.
Oh, I flushed them away.
Good. The boss sent me to him, and I laughingly complained one day of becoming senile. He gave me some pink and green pills which caused him to walk sideways like a blithering crab and find all of life screamingly funny.
What sort of funny?
Funny ha-ha. Went with the boss to old Henry Allblatt seeing off, but just managed not to laugh until the parson spoke of Henry's soul in heaven when they had to remove me. Oh, there you are, old girl. I was telling Roland...
I have things to tell you in the Dorset, Guy.
Good evening, Heidi.
Yes, it is. There's girls on the TV for you, Guy.
All right. Roland has been to see Leonovsky, Heidi.
Yes, that is so.
I thought you might know. Oh, death, where is that sting-a-ling-a-ling?
Why does he sing that so much, I wonder? Get me a brandy, please, Roland.
Yes, of course.
Have you had a hard day?
Yes, it is always hard, always. I have idiots to deal with.
Have you ever asked yourself if it's worth it?
I ask myself, is it worth it? And I answer myself, yes.
Of course. But I'm surprised that you question yourself at all.
Yes, but I do so twice a year.
Why twice a year?
Because it is enough. Twice a year, I tell my staff, today it is questions. And I spend half an hour with myself being silent and asking myself questions.
Do you think it weak and foolish of me?
No, I think it very courageous of me.
And I am being courageous now, Roland.
Are you?
Yes, because I sit here with you becalmed.
Calm and collected. Why not?
Because I wish to rage and storm at you. But I told myself that would be no good, and I must use a different tactic.
But if you'd raged and stormed, I might have burst into tears.
You are not yourself. Poor Roland. I think I shall use my female vials on you.
What?
Yes, a sex play. But you are not yourself, because you want to leave our corporation. Why is that, Roland? Why?
I can't tell you exactly why.
You are not going to another corporation?
No, that's the last thing. I just want out.
But what can I do without you? You have the Midas touch. Without you, we may not flourish.
Heidi, you'd make roses grow in a desert. And you've other directors. What's wrong with them?
They say yes and no when I say yes and no.
Well, you should give them their heads a bit more.
You must stay. You are my best hand.
I'll think about it, but...
You think about it, yes. But I shall act.
Act?
I shall take my clothes off.
What? Why? Where?
In the bedroom, and we will have powerful sex.
No,
come.
Heidi, please don't be so silly.
I am not so silly. We will make love, and then be as cement. Come. I have the hot Roland.
But if Guy should come in. Now, look, you go into the bedroom first.
Yes. And you follow. And when you are in, I shall be in the aula.
So don't be long. I'll get some things off here.
Roland, see, I have disregarded my clothes. Roland, Vertanen, gone, Schwein.
It is a pity you didn't take the tablets, Mr. Peel.
Just as well. I feel fine anyway, Dr. Leonowski.
But try to remember, when you return home, they work miracles.
So I've been told.
By whom, may I ask?
Guy Hedstrife. He was much impressed by their effect.
Was he? So, let us return to this obsession you have with hell.
Well, what else can I tell you?
Emotionally, all is clear. So I shall try to look at things unemotionally. What are the facts? You are a highly respected financier, the only man whom Heidi acknowledges as indispensable. She has told me that you are like a son to her.
Ah. Have you an opinion on who was to blame most, Oedipus or Jocasta?
What? There are various views. What has Oedipus and his mother to do with this hell problem?
The Jocasta you spoke of invited me to her bed.
What? Heidi, do you mean? Never.
Yes, Heidi showing her maternal feelings.
Heidi? No, it isn't possible. What makes you say such a thing?
She spoke of having powerful sex, which, as she put it, would make us as cement.
Excuse me, I must have a glass of water.
I had a stiff scotch.
Before you accepted her invitation?
No, after I'd bolted. It was bizarre, don't you think? Never in my wildest dreams.
And by God, do you not have wild dreams, Mr. Peel? First of hell, now of Heidi as a temptress.
You know, Sir Fingal suggested my girlfriend was a Heidi substitute, like one of those rubber dolls you blow up.
Heidi, a rubber doll? Is he crazy?
And because I thought I might be devoured, I went into a state of tonic immobility.
So you may still hold the delusion that Heidi and you...
What happened is true. Ask her yourself.
Are you crazy?
You seem to think so.
My God, you mix reality and fantasy into one hell of a mess.
Well, ask her, then you'll know.
She would have me struck off. She would have my...
Wait and see, Dr. Leonos.
Wait and see what?
Heidi is used to having things her own way, isn't she? So she'll be out for revenge, don't you think? That is, unless she takes matters differently and does what Jocasta did. But as she didn't actually sleep with me...
Oh, my God, you are a very mixed-up fellow. Oedipus, Heidi, Hell, Jocasta, they are all whirling around in your mind. And you want to be a sort of saint. Oh, I have had enough today.
I take it that you'll let Heidi know all this.
But, dear chap, medical ethics, everything between us is sacrosanct.
Good. Aren't you going to tell me a joke as usual?
What joke as usual?
Oh, maybe I dreamt that you always finished with a joke.
It is a good idea. Listen, there was this Jewish mama who sent her son to a shrink. And after he had seen the boy, he explained the Oedipus complex to the mama. And when he finished, she said, Oedipus, octopus, platypus, what does it matter as long as he loves his mother?
Ah, kippers for breakfast. Just what the doctor ordered.
No, I ordered them. Is this true? I have been reading incredible things.
Who'd put the fat in the fire now?
It is not fat. It is Leon Noske's report to me about Roland. Read it. You'll see.
What?
So much is clearer now. But why should he go there?
He's sure he went to hell. Great Scott, hell?
Roland has become deranged and insanitary.
I hope not. 30 minutes in hell, worse than 30 in Ostend, as the actress said.
I will give him hell.
So that explains the funny chat we had the other evening about hell and tabernacles in St. John's Wood.
Do not ramble on, Guy.
Only for a jiff. Repent or go to eternal hell, and so on.
So, now he has to become a good-hearted man and no more the devious, cunning bastard he was. That makes me very furious and very sad, also.
The thing is, Heidi, will he blab?
Hmm?
Will he give away a few of your naughty secrets?
Let the cats out of the bag.
Put the cat among the pigeons.
Spill the greens? He is not to be trusted any longer.
Is there something up your sleeve, Elsie?
No, but I shall put something up it. He must be made as silent as a cemetery. We must have a meeting without him.
I'd be careful there, Heidi. They might get cold feet.
Cold feet in hell?
Become worried, frightened, at hell gaping and so on.
I see. You are right. I shall tell them not to be so stupid. I shall tell them that we make money, and that is a good thing. With no money, there will be no crumbs for the poor man. And I will tell them also that the poor will only inherit the earth when they too are rich people. Now, I must go and arrange things. What is this hell but in our dreams?
Good Lord. Phew. Keep it as cold as a cemetery. What else does Leonowski have to say? What? Heidi didn't see this. Couldn't have. Are Roland suffering from the delusion that the boss said come to bed? Have powerful sex? And he bolted, did he? I don't fancy your chances, Roland, old boy. 20 to 1, I'd say.
Oh, my poor roly-poly. What are you going to do next?
What am I going to do next?
You must have thought something out.
No, I haven't a clue.
You'd better hide from Heidi anyway. Hell hath no fury. Sorry, that word. But I bet she'll be spiteful.
Or worse. I wonder how.
Don't wonder. Just make good your escape.
I've not tied things up properly here yet. And if I don't, my staff will suffer. When I have, what do I do? Where do I go?
Why don't you buy a country house in the hills and settle down to a life of contemplation?
And wait for death. And hell.
Can't one purify oneself by contemplation?
Don't you have to be a good man to begin with? Anyway, I wouldn't know how to get going.
There's that Armenian. Or is he a Kurd? Claims to be 120. Called Nerdiev, I think. He's a great guru. Full of wisdom, so they say.
Where does he hang out? Tashkent?
No, Turnham Green, West something. I know a girl who went to see him.
Did it do her any good?
He told her she was too stupid for him to help her. Well, she was stupid. So she became cross and worked hard at being less stupid. Which she is.
That's basic psychology. I wonder what questions one asks of a man of 120 years.
Come and sit on the floor, Mr. Peel. It is very uncomfortable.
Oh. Yes, it is.
It is. And what are your questions?
That's just the problem, Mr. Nerdiev.
You have no questions?
Oh, I'm sure I have, but I don't know how to frame them.
So they are not simple questions, like who will win the 2:30 at Doncaster next Saturday?
No, I never bet on the horses.
What is your first name? The one they call you by?
Roland.
Child Roland to the Dark Tower came.
Did he? Isn't that a poem by Tennyson?
You are warm, but no.
What was the Dark Tower?
A building miles from anywhere.
And why did Child Roland go there?
It was the end of his quest.
I suppose I'm on a sort of a quest.
Do you know what it is?
Yes, to become a better person.
Better than what? Better than whom?
Better than what I am.
What are you at present?
Well, until very recently, a man motivated by money and power.
Ah, have you been successful in these aims?
Yes, I'm as rich as Croesus, and so I'm...
Tell me the names of your financial concerns. Don't you know of and can remember?
Pycroft Hogg, Bankers Fund Managers, Kettle Press, Kingpick Films, Lilacs Departmental Stores, the Wingwalk Bank, Hong Kong, Yellowhammer Gold Dealers, and other companies under the Hedgestrife Corporation banner.
And you wish to give this up? All of it? To sweep roads because you went to hell?
Wouldn't you? Perhaps not actually sweep roads, but...
I have swept roads over 100 years ago in Baghdad. Begged for coins in Constantinople in 1897. Worked as a waiter in Soho in 1905. Played the piano in a Paris brothel in 1927 with Maurice Ravel, and so on and so on.
And which year did you go to hell and back?
1951, after a car crash in the Alps. Our immortal souls have to go through hell's gates. The infinite eternity is hell, heaven, purgatory. The soul journeys through all three until it learns to be wise. But you must first learn to be wise as a man.
A rich man like I am isn't wise, you know.
You are a wise fool, for you know how to turn things into gold, and that is enough.
I could do with some of your wisdom. And your serenity.
Could you? I doubt it. Most people who get a cramped bum sitting on my floor envy me. But I envy you, Roland. This is such a boring way of life. Telling fools to stop being fools when they can't. Telling sleepwalkers to wake up when they can't. What I would have given for money and power. My father was a Baghdad carpet merchant, you know, to travel in large cars, to control business empires, to trade in money, to have Swiss bank accounts, and to have beautiful women. Not the neurotic spinsters who turn up here in Turnham Green. And now I am 120 years... 2 months, 3 weeks, 6 days, 2 hours, 8 and a half.
All gurus are the same, I'm told. A mixture of the phony and the wise.
Perhaps he's right about hell and the soul. I wonder why he told me his father was a Baghdad carpet merchant.
To impress you, of course. Where do you go next, if anywhere?
What do you make of this business card?
Find your way to a happier life with Lola, the new theosophy therapy. The mystery of the East and the power of the West combined. Appointments only. A Mayfair phone number, that is. She sounds like a high-class call girl.
Really? Guy sent it me. With a note, here.
I gather you're looking for enlightenment. Old friends tell me this lady has a new approach to same. Good luck, Guy.
A cool girl? Guy's old friends? Guy, do you think?
Indubitably. Unless she has something extra.
What extra? I can imagine.
I mean some real wisdom. Theosophy's supposed to know all the answers. Therapy, all the questions.
The way of enlightenment is very hard and very expensive. Do you have the money, Roland?
Yes, plenty of money. Look, see?
Good. We are in business, as they say.
You are very young, knowing the mystery of the East, power of the West.
I have an old soul.
You have a beautiful body.
Nothing. It is the soul that matters.
My soul went to hell little while back for 30 minutes.
You go to hell? How did this happen?
I got into tonic immobility. Death feigning. Soul left body, went to hell.
Hath it come back?
Yeah, we. Yes, it returned. But I do not want to go to hell for good. Can you help?
Is you effing me on? Oh, this bloody accent.
Oh, yes, I was finding my part tiring also.
The clients like it. Only you're not the usual sort.
Oh, am I not?
Not if you died and went to hell, you're not. Did you come here thinking it was serious? The theosophy therapy stuff?
No, but I was prepared to give it a try.
Oh, so somebody gave you my card, did they? Someone you trusted?
Well, I wouldn't say I trusted him. It was probably his idea of a joke.
Yes, I have a few jokers in the pack. You went to hell because you were bad? Wicked,
oh,
was it?
No, I'm not a criminal. I didn't think of myself as bad. I lead a sound sort of life, and I make millions. But making millions seems to lead to hell.
Swings and roundabouts, I suppose. What about girls of my calling? Do we finish up there?
Well, I didn't see any of you. Sins of the flesh are small beer compared to a lot of other things, if it is a sin.
There's a bishop among my punters. Where's Gators, anyway? Calls me a fallen woman and likes to pray for me.
Oh, before or after?
Afterwards, of course. Really, he's praying for himself, I think. I said to him once, what about Mary Magdalene? Jesus didn't go about praying for her, did he? And she was a whore. He got quite cross, said she wasn't a whore, said it was a mistranslation. Funny, wasn't it? Oh, I do think about death, though, because in this profession you can meet with a sudden end. I mean, one or two of my more kinky customers have given me the frights at times, so I try to be prepared. Were you prepared?
No. Post-coitus, I'm afraid.
Oh, what a way to go.
Ah, Guy, I expected to see you here.
Did you? I didn't expect to see you here. You never are.
Well, these days I go to all sorts of places I've not visited for ages.
Yes, I recall that you went to St. John's Wood.
And recently to Turnham Green for the first time.
I won't ask why. But you got back safely, of course.
I went to ask a guru about hell. I go around these days asking people if they believe in hell.
People? What people, old boy?
Well, the man in the street, the yob on the omnibus, the housewife in the supermarket, yuppies in pubs, girls at bus stops, road sweepers.
They must think you're stark, staring mad.
Well, some get aggressive, most ignore me. A girl shouted for help the other day. Road sweepers will discuss the matter. It seems they like a chat on a serious subject.
You'll be locked up if you're not careful.
Well, you give me the chance to ask the coppers who take me in how they see things. Can I get you a drink?
I'm drinking gin and tonic immobility, old boy.
Oh. So the news is around, is it?
Only in elite circles.
Two gins and slimline tonics, please.
Ah, good evening, Guy.
Good evening, my Lord Bishop. Roland's ordering. Do you know Roland Peel?
Only by reputation.
Oh. How do you do, my Lord Bishop?
But do call me Margaret.
Well, if you say so. What will you drink, Margaret?
No, Scout, the Bishop of Margaret. That watering hole on the Kent coast.
Of course, I'm sorry. What will it be?
A glass of dry sherry, I think.
And a dry sherry... Oh, you know. Oh, thanks.
Bottoms up, as Heidi says.
I wish you could get her to use a less delicate idiom, Guy.
I tried. She came up with, here's lead in your pencil. Loud and clear at a banquet, sitting next to a minor royal. I better go round Buckhouse in no time.
I've been on a pastoral visit in my sea, you know.
Talking of visits, I visited that lady whose card you sent me, Guy.
Lola of the Theosophy Therapy School. I'm all right, Margaret. Margaret?
Quite, thanks. I swallowed the wrong way.
Yes, she was of no use, I'm afraid.
Pity. Lots of chaps find her most helpful. Getting better, Bishop?
I think so. I hope so.
I don't know what theosophy is, not really. Do you, Margaret?
I'm sure the young lady in question doesn't either.
Ah, so you know her, do you, Margaret?
I was but generalizing.
Bad show, she was of no use. For your purpose, Reverend.
We spent a pleasant time together.
Did you?
I tried my best to answer her questions.
Did you answer them?
I did my best, Guy.
I'm consumed with curiosity. What was the purport of her inquiries, Bill?
Hell.
Hell?
Hell. You see, Roland is obsessed with hell, Margaret.
So the greens have been spilt, as Heidi might put it.
I don't quite follow.
Heidi has a headlock on our jolly Jungian, Roland. Leonovsky's past indiscretions, some most murky.
How does the subject of hell come into this, may I ask?
That's Roland's tale of woe.
I see. An obsession with hell is unusual in a man of your worldly interest, is it not, Peel?
Well, yes, but you see, I died, went there, came back.
I'm deeply shocked.
So was I.
I think it's a matter of popping off, then popping back, Roland. In the eyes of the church, it's not done. Or rather, only one chap is allowed to have done it.
Of course, I'm sorry, Bishop Margate, but my death was perhaps exaggerated. Sir Fingal Cameron calls it feigning death or tonic immobility.
Like playing dead soldiers when we were boys, Margaret.
I'm beginning to understand, I think.
I saw a shrink. He said my going to hell was only a bad dream. I saw it as a warning, so I want to mend my ways.
But aren't your ways above reproach? They wouldn't have you as a member of this club, for instance.
He wants to give up money, power, all that sort of thing.
Really? Really?
What about lust, Elba?
Of course, he has dreams of saintliness. I know.
Don't want saintliness. I want ordinariness of a useful kind.
Talking of that, Roland, reminds me. Heidi is out for your blood.
It was my body the other day.
Really?
I know. How? It was in Leonovsky's epistle. I did mention it, circumambiguously, of course. We got the look which freezes a chap's water.
Yes, I remember when I once suggested she should give our cathedral spire fund the odd million.
Assassination, Guy.
What?
But me, not you, Margaret.
I'd watch your back, Roland, if I were you.
Yes, I will. It's the existence of hell that worries me. Some of my road sweepers laugh it away as a fairy tale. Gurus are concerned with worldly things. What does the church have to say, Margie?
My canon is the man for you, Peel. Canon Clutterbuck. He's about 90, but an expert on hell, if a little eccentric. Go and see him. Take a woman with you. He's fond of female company.
I'll go tomorrow. Thank you, Bishop. And Guy, tell Heidi not to take any irrevocable decision until I've seen the canon.
Let us begin. Of you all together. Baslan, yeah. Cordova, si. Tundembe, yeah. Edgehill, Endley.
Si.
Good. This is a secret and unusual meeting and must not be spoken of outside these walls.
What about Roland Peel? He's not here.
It is Roland. We must discuss, Denby.
There is gossip going around. My office has heard odd reports.
There are whispers about it. Some days he can be reached nowhere.
He won't answer his car phone.
I heard he went into the country.
Turnham Green, where he's my wife, a man of 120 years old.
They're going to find him there.
Shut up! I will tell you about it. In bed, one evening at 6 o'clock, he went into a deep down sleep, which is called tonic immobility. He was as if dead as a doornail.
Why was he in bed? Was he unwell?
No, he was entertaining a friend.
I don't think this is a laughing matter. He was as if dead.
Correct. feigned death. I hear this from Sir Fingal and Dr. Leonowski, but to them, he is a puzzle.
A mystery? He is at all.
He was dead for 35 minutes, and later he told Dr. Leonowski that he had been down to hell. But come back. It is no laughing sock. It is serious. He told Leonowski he was in hell for sure. He saw deceased old blacks eating money and crying.
That is hell.
There is more. There was a room of deceased people all money eating and crying, and in a corridor that bubbled, there were cookie shapes all over him, and in a rubbish street with the well-known deceased stuck on walls.
Very dreadful.
Now he says he has been a wicked bastard, but will change and become a good man and sweep roads and other good things, and he will make a clean chest of his past wickedness.
I don't care if he sweeps chimneys, but I don't like the idea of a clean breast.
You will sing, and many will listen.
The less said about something, the better.
I ask myself, would Roland tell Ola not to be told things? And I answer myself, if it is to save another time in hell, yes.
He has a point. I would not like to finish up where he went.
And not come back.
Oh, I have no doubts about my own salvation.
And because of you, I visit church twice on Sunday.
And I do charitable work.
And what is that? Visiting paupers.
Paupers? Yeah. Animals? I began the Save the Hedgehog campaign.
Hedgehogs?
Hedgehogs? Yes. They have a fleet.
The court! None of us will go to hell. You have my word for it. Roland had a night horse. That is all. We are not hell fodder.
It's pretty difficult to talk to you, Canon Clutterbuck, when you're in there.
I'm not coming out.
Our knees are getting sore. Can't you come out a bit?
I'll stick my neck out.
That would help.
Thank you.
This cupboard is my bunker, my last defensive position.
It's a fine big bunker, isn't it, Lorraine?
Yes. I'd say it is, Roland.
It's extremely comfortable, but it has a drawback. At times the dear bishop forgets I'm in it, and he shuts and locks the door.
So it could be your final resting place.
Oh, yes. Until 10 years ago, you know, I was a perfectly normal canon. Unfired by ambition, not aiming at infamy, out of the battle, in fact. And then one morning, I woke with a different soul. My interior had changed, although I looked the same. Do you follow?
These days, Canon, I follow anything.
This is the bishop's revenge, Rowley.
It's not Christian.
What happened to your own soul, Canon?
I think that Miss Twitchett, the bishop's amanuensis, has it.
Where did your new soul come from, Canon?
Oh, hell, Hades, the underworld. It has escaped after being there since 1945.
Goodness me.
Did your new soul describe hell?
It didn't have to, did it? Because it was me and I was it.
What was hell like?
One vast beer cellar, full of stormtroopers swilling beer by the bucketful.
That was hell?
They could never stop, don't you see? It was for eternity. And my soul was doomed to stand on a table in the beer cellar and shout a speech and dance a jig forever. It got fed up, of course. So one day escaped, up a chimney, and flew around until it got to Margate. It was looking for me, you see.
Yes.
Yes.
Of course.
It knew I'd always been a secret admirer. I used to shine a torch from a window here in 1940. So it grabbed my own soul, kicked it out, and took its place.
So now you're waiting for the end, alone in the bunker.
Ava should be here with me. But the Royal Mail lost her soul in Brighton. I am trying to find a replacement.
Oh, yes. Well, Canon, I suggest you go to the back of your bunker, and perhaps Eva will come to you.
Can you hear the gunfire? They are closing in on us, Eva!
Canon, you're fired.
Sieg Heil! Sieg Heil! Hooray! Margaret for the cup! All right, Heidi. Holler verboten!
For us it is so. Hell is for little people.
But what if he sins, goes public, tells the times?
The Guardian, what if he makes a bigger stir?
Shouts things over the rooftops to clear his conscience.
Opens a can of worms, Heidi.
We have no worms to be ashamed of.
The West weren't whole business.
The Argentinian beef business.
There is some dirty washing, yes.
We should not be hung out.
It is perhaps better that Roland is made silent, I think.
Mm-hmm. Is that an order, Heidi?
It is thinking aloud.
In Sicilian circles, that is an order.
Are we talking of concrete overcoats?
I think we are, yes.
Which is all very well. But how? Where?
When? As soon as now. I am very sad to think of this.
We will have to find a contract, gentlemen.
See, in my country I have connections with some squads.
I have friends who have friends in Napoli.
Does anyone know anything about poisons?
Alas, the Borgias are long dead.
I wonder if the British Wildflower Society could help.
Really?
Oh, deadly nightshade.
Or the Fox Club, isn't there?
No, who would wash our bloody hands? I have thought of something. I must speak to Dr. Leonowski about this something.
Ah, Roland. Did you see the bishop's canon?
Yes, I did.
Was he a useful canon?
He believes he's Hitler.
He's not the only one.
He lives in a cupboard.
I'll suggest it to her.
Why is it that all and everyone I come across in my search is no bloody use?
That happens, old boy. Have a drink.
I don't know what to do next.
I thought you might be thinking of quitting these shores.
No, I don't like abroad.
Not even for your health?
My health would be better abroad, do you think?
You should find somewhere quiet like Reykjavik. Call yourself something like Royal Pavlovich. Enjoy a long life.
Yes. They'd want to keep me quiet.
As the cemetery, old boy, as someone said.
I wasn't intending to go public. Would Heidi believe that?
Doubtful, under present circumstances. As for the rest of the crazy gang, they're running scared.
I wonder how they'll try to get at me.
I'd tell you if I knew. All I do know is that our friend Leonowski is in on things, so steer clear of him. I need a gargle. What's your poison, old boy?
It's Dr. Leonowski, Roland.
Ask him to come in, Lorraine, but by himself.
Come in, Dr. Leonowski, but by yourself. Aren't you alone?
I have two attendants in the hall.
Where they will remain, right?
As you wish. So, you were expecting me?
I was. Come and sit down.
Do you want me to do something, Roly, like phone for help?
No, not necessary, darling.
Were you given the tip-off?
Warning, perhaps. If Heidi wanted me silenced, unless she planned to bump me off, I knew she'd think of you and your quiet country place.
Where you will be well looked after until your mind is healed.
You old pig. You'll fill him with stuff until he doesn't know if he's himself or Ramsay MacDonald.
Who the hell is Ramsay MacDonald?
You know, Dr. Leonowski, I'm just about willing to leave all of this. I'm quite lost.
Do you still believe you went to hell?
I went somewhere. But if it wasn't hell, where was it? I've been trying to find out, unsuccessfully. Now I'm drafting a letter to Canterbury in case...
You are writing to a town?
Well, I've already written to York.
And you expect to have replies?
I've written to all the religious leaders I can think of, more in despair than hope.
Come with me. I will give you hope.
I've tried to find useful work, but I seem to be a square peg. And there aren't any square holes, are there?
I know where there is a square hole for you.
Yes, in your bin. He'd be better off in the black hole of Calcutta.
What was the black... Oh, Calcutta! I have a large, blacked-out car waiting. So... Will you come with me? Shall we go, Mr. Peel?
Roland? Oh, my God, look. I think he's done it again.
What again?
What has he... Impossible. He must wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Please, wake up. How does he do it?
He never told me. Oh, isn't he peaceful looking? He's probably staring down at us from the ceiling.
No pulse. No breathing. Nothing. Is he feigning death again?
I don't think so. Not this time. I think he's had enough, poor darling. But we'll have to wait and see, won't we?
In Roland's Afterlife by Frederick Brabham, Derek Foles played Roland, Melinda Walker Lorraine, Sheila Hancock Heidi, Richard Vernon Guy, David March Leonowski, and Robert Edison Nergieff. Sir Fingal Cameron was played by Henry Stamper, Canon Clutterbuck Eric Allen, Dr. Shaw Irene Sutcliffe, Truscott Alan Barker, the Bishop Peter Penry Jones. Lola, Joanna Myers, Mrs. Denby, Anne Windsor, Cordoba, Andrew Wincott, Empoli, Colin McFarlane, Edge Hill, Fraser Carr, Bass Ryan, Brett Usher, and the woman, Teresa Stretfield. Roland's Afterlife was directed by Glyn Dearman.